Jim Lauderdale is my guest today. You've heard a couple of his tunes from other records, bluegrass-oriented. He has a new album out entitled Hope. It's on Yep Rock Records. It came out in 2021, and it's all about hope. Different sounds on some of the things that Jim has done. We're going to start off with the opportunity to get somebody through it, and then we're going to have a nice discussion with Jim about how this recording came about and what all the different songs mean. There's definitely a meaning to the concept in the album and all the songs as they're laid out, and Jim Lauderdale is just always a fascinating guest. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard the opportunity to help someone through it on an album titled Hope by my guest today, Jim Lauderdale. How are you doing today, Jim?
Steve, I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's always nice to chat with you and get some new music. Hope was released 2021. It's on Yep Rock Record. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, it was released, I think, July 3rd.
The song we just heard off the air, I mentioned to you, it might be the funkiest song I've ever heard from Jim Lauderdale.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, a few people said that because, you know, I've done my share of bluegrass and traditional country and kind of singer-songwriter stuff. So, yeah, that one does have a little pep to
yes,
it.
Yes, it does. A little different. Some of these tunes have a little different horn sections. There's like a rhythm and blues section further down on the album. But we started off with this, the opportunity to help someone through it. The album cover, I don't know if that's a real animal or not, but it's kind of like a spring. It's kind of like a forest setting for the people to envision this. And I think hope, I don't think that every song that every musician, songwriter writes has to have a message, but I do think that in last year, 2021, hope and some of these songs fit right into We Fade In, We Fade Out, the one about Breathe Real Slow. I think you're saying, let's just get a grip. I don't mean every single song, but I think you're saying, let's take the opportunity to help someone through it. We're all going through it, and take our time, and maybe not. I read some of this as, let's not react too quickly. Let's breathe. Let's breathe real slow and take some time. And you know what I'm saying? Am I anywhere near what you were thinking with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And during this time of starting a couple of years ago now, when everything was upended, I couldn't really do anything for a while. And I stopped playing and then slowly started getting back into it and thought, well, if there's any contribution I can make to the world right now, it would be through some hopeful music. And I had a few things recorded. I had been working on a traditional country record for a while that I was real keen on finishing and getting out, and then everything, you know, changed during that time, and I felt even funny about just releasing regular music, and so I realized that some of the songs that I was recording during this time for this country album, these other things were just coming out, but they didn't fit on a country record per se, because when I think of country, I'm kind of still my definition of it, you know, just personally, it's okay, heavy pedal steel guitar, you know, Telecaster, you know, but then trying to go somewhere else, take it to someplace different and not just rehash things, sounds from the past, but build on it. But then a few song ideas started coming to me when I thought, you know, I'd really like to do a record during this time just to make people feel good, you know, and to help them get through this time. And so that song, The Opportunity to Help Somebody Through It, was, I think, the first one of that batch. And I've got to credit my co-producer, Jay Weaver, who plays bass on the record, and he's been co-producing my last several studio albums in Nashville. And when I played them, I had the melody to that song and part of the lyric, and I played it for the guys in the studio. And I said, you know, it's kind of a bluegrassy, country rockish kind of thing. And he said, you know, let's mess around with it a little bit. So I have him to thank for that nice groove on there.
It's very groovy.
And so then, you know, some other songs just started coming out, and before I knew it, I had a whole record that fit for what I wanted to do. And when you're talking about the painting on the front of it, and
yes,
there's another song I'd like for you to play later, I'll tell you about, that I co-wrote with Robert Hunter, the great lyricist who passed away the fall before I put this record out. Time has passed so quickly. 2 years ago in the fall.
It's almost like we had this 2 year period just sort of sucked away from us. I mean, everybody talks
exactly
the way you're talking. It's
yeah,
like, wait a minute, that was 2020. I do that all the time.
Me too. It seems like 1 year and it was two.
Right.
But Robert Hunter's wife, Maureen, did this great painting that I used as the cover for Hope, and I feel like it does really kind of capture a feeling of hope just looking at that painting.
So am I correct then? What you're telling me is that the very first song that you put together for this album that would become Hope was the first song on the album that we just played, The Opportunity to Help Someone Through It,
that was the one that turned things around for me. That I had recorded a few of these other songs before, but they didn't make sense. But then, I mean, they made sense, but not for this country record
that I was
working. It was kind of like there was some subconscious part of me or something that started writing these songs that would, you know, hopefully be uplifting or talk to the times. But I didn't really understand. It didn't make sense to me what I was going to do with them until I wrote that song with The Opportunity to Help Somebody Through It. And it's like, okay, I'm going to do this album that will hopefully inspire hope. And then it's like, oh, well, wait a minute, this song and makes sense to include on this now too. And I'll write a bunch of other new ones to make it all work.
That's interesting. If you're tuning in, I'm talking to Jim Lauderdale. We're going to talk a lot about his newest album, Hope. But we talked to Jim about a lot of different things music-wise. Jim, if you listen to this program at all, you know that he's a regular contributor with Bluegrass. He writes country songs. He writes just about everything and has a very specific goal from my recollection talking to you. It's interesting that this album came about the way you're describing it. It's almost like a template was laid by the very first song that we played for them, The Opportunity to Help Someone Through It. And then things kind of became more focused, I guess, in a time, Jim, when nobody was really focused. I think that hit everybody. We talked about this. I don't want to beat it in the ground, but it's kind of like you need a little focus to figure out how you're going to follow these things up.
Yes, and this was the thing that got me out of it helped get me through those times because I wasn't really speaking much for several months. I wasn't singing. I wasn't playing. There were a few things where people would say, hey, can you video a song to send us for this benefit or this or that, and there are a few live things. And so I did those, but it was really, I was so out of practice, and my voice was so kind of not up to par and everything, but I got by on those little things. But then I started going in the studio, and everything just kind of started coming together.
And you're back out performing. That must be so hard for a performer. Not only are you not encouraged, let's say, speak or write songs, or but in order to be a performer, you have to have an audience to perform to.
Right. Yes. And I didn't do any. A bunch of my friends got it figured out, and you know how to do good, high quality performances from home. And I'm such a Luddite that I couldn't do that. And I thought, well, anyway, I'll let my friends who are much better at that go ahead and do that, and someday things will open up again a little more on the road, which they did. I guess it was last summer, right?
Things kind of started a little bit. Yeah, there was a little flash.
Swing, and things were kind of picking up, and then I guess around October, November, when I was out a bunch of people after the initial joy of getting out and the great relief it was for people to get out, then, you know, this other variant started going around.
That's right.
And so people stopped going out as much. So I actually, in November at a benefit, I mean, in December, close to Christmas, I got COVID myself.
Oh, well, did you really?
Spent the holidays and everything with COVID, but got through it. And so, anyway, but we're here now.
We're here now. So. You're on the road. You buzzed past me a couple of days ago. I wasn't able to catch you, but I know that you're out doing your show again, which is great.
Yes. Yeah. Things have not. I think it's not going to be that full of a summer touring wise, but that's okay. You know, that's I've got other things to work on and stuff, but yeah, it's I think we're all just kind of getting reacclimated to life again, you know, post this, and now the new challenges ahead that we have to deal with.
We all need hope. One of the tunes, yeah. I talked to you a little bit before we went on the air, that Breathe Real Slow, I think, you know, but let me do this on the album as a whole, and you've explained it so well. There are songs that are uplifting, and that includes the tempo, but there's also kind of like therapy or advisory tunes. I take one of those, Breathe Real Slow is...
Well, let's talk about that one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and play that one.
We can do that.
The song Breathe Real Slow kind of... there were a few different inspirations for that. One was, you know, I had just noticed that there are so many things, stressful things that hit you at various times, or different stimulus out there that can really turn you around and get you sideways. And one way of dealing with that is is just slowing your breath down. And also, my hobby over the past 33 years.
I knew we could get into this, so you're going exactly where I wanted to go. You go ahead.
Yes, is my hobby's been Tai Chi and Qi Gong, which is, you know, Tai Chi is this slower form of choreographed movements that can be used as a martial art, but it's great. It's just really good for you. And Qi Gong is a lot of breathing exercises. There's a lot of different styles of that. And so... and I've been taking classes. I have two different teachers that were offering online classes. And so in the Qigong, there is are several instances with exercises where you really inhale slowly, hold it for a little bit, exhale slowly. And that's just one of the ways to cope with things is to, because it's inevitable, unfortunately, for about all of us that daily there's going to be something that's going to make your heart race. And so that is just one way of like kind of your own way that you control your own breathing and your own reactions to things, because it's up to you to do that, to each one of us to deal with our own stuff. And
let me ask you this, because I understand what you're saying. I don't practice what you're saying, but does that breathing slowly and deep, does it also prevent you from making a judgment too soon? We all have to make decisions as we walk out the door, but in times that we're going through when this album was being made, and even as we speak now, Jim, the invasion in Ukraine, that's added a whole other layer on top of it. But
yeah,
as we hear new elements in the news or wherever we get our information from, am I wrong? Does the breathing real slow and prevent you from overreacting too quickly, and you get stuck in a position that you can't back down from? I
think it could.
Yeah.
You know, I think
maybe
we're
not
all different,
yeah,
and everybody's got their own triggers, you know, for things. But it helps me, and believe me, it's a lifelong process. You know, there's different times of the day where I remember. It's like, oh yes, I need to be, you know, thinking about, you know, or putting my attention more into, you know, where the energy is coming in, to, you know, and replenishing your energy instead of just depleting it and things like that. And the breathing is a big part of it. But I think any kind of a practice that somebody does is, it takes a long, long, long time. I've still got so far to go, you know, a long, long way to go. But every once in a while, though, you will remember that, you know, maybe it's like, gosh, well, I realize I'm breathing really fast right now.
It's a self-awareness. It's that whole self-awareness.
Yeah.
You know, and the song we're talking about, Breathe Real Slow, I think couples well with the second song on the album, Sister Horizon, which you may want to talk about later. But to me, that's that's the same, because I know a lot of the Tai Chi, well, I don't know anything about this, just from what I see on TV, but I think a lot of it is kind of done by some people as the sun is rising. Or
yeah,
am I wrong on that? Yeah.
No, it's a good time of day. Any time that is good for your schedule with stuff is the right time. You know, just as long as you do it, that you set aside some time for yourself to just do a little bit of stuff. You know, I think we're all so busy these days with things, and you know, ideally, if in a perfect world, I'd have 3 or 4 hours to do all the different styles I do and different things. But you know, realistically, it's great to go, okay, you know, I need to do this or that this morning, but I'm going to take this 8 minutes and do these stretches and this standing meditation and these movements and things like that. And you just have to kind of find what will fit into your schedule to enhance it, you know, because any of these kinds of things are, the goal is to make, to help you function better in life, you know, and to deal with all of this stuff, you know, because it really is, geez, you know, we are going through such times that we never imagined, you know.
No.
would happen. Yeah. And we have to deal with them. And it's not like, you know, unfortunately, I wish it was different, but, you know, unfortunately, and I'm not trying to be a doomsday guy at all. Here it is. I've got the record. I call hope. Don't forget about that. You know, but, I mean, we are just going to, you know, it's not like things are all of a sudden going to get better and there's nothing we'll have to worry about anymore.
Right.
You know, life's different. And so we have to, just find our own, individual ways to, deal with it, to help deal with it.
We've talked about this. Why don't we play now for him, Jim? Breathe real slow. We've talked about it. I'm going to come back and talk to you again. We can go to any number of tunes on the album, but I think Breathe Real Slow, and then maybe we'll talk Sister Horizon.
Sure.
And so right now that I'm talking to Jim Lauderdale, we've done a nice discussion of Breathe Real Slow on this album, Hope, which came out in 2021. It's on Yip Rock Records. And this is the song that I kind of diverted our discussions about by going right to the six cut, Breathe Real Slow. But let's play that now, and I'll come back and talk to Jim Lauderdale.
Sure.
There, you just heard the tune we were talking about, Breathe Real Slow. Jim, you, I may have inadvertently directed your attention to that tune. And then in my mind, I connected to Sister Horizon. I'm not saying that's what you meant to do, but I just, to me, I see these activities in a sunrise, or in this case, you know, just whatever. It just seems to be a calming time. There are so many great songs on the album that kind of feed into that. Don't you dream anymore. I think what you're saying in that song is you probably should dream. We should have still dreams, right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's for somebody that has kind of given up. You know, that had once had dreams, and you know, that's easy to do, is to kind of give up your dreams. You know, I think at different times we reevaluate what our dreams are, but I think it's great to have dreams and quests and goals and stuff. You know, we might never hit them, reach them, but it helps.
And just so people don't think that Jim has written all of these slow down songs. Well, of course, the first song we heard, the opportunity to help someone through it, that's not. But there's songs toward the end of the album. Here's the Hoping and Joyful Noise. There's almost a swing. There's almost a swing spirit to Here's the Hoping, and I think that goes with what you're saying also.
Yeah. Exactly. It's, you know, to get back to the celebratory aspect of music and that uplifting thing of music, which is, gosh, that's one of the magical things and fortunate things we have in music, because it really does, it can have such a good positive effect on us. You know, it really, can just change your mood in a good way and quickly.
And Jim, I know that you put a lot of thought in, that you always have. I mean, I've got bluegrass records with you and Ralph and things from those days where not necessarily you've written and crafted every song, and even your bluegrass album, every song into a concept. And I hate to use that worn out term, but I get that hope is sort of from where it came from, is kind of a concept. The songs are uplifting.
Yes,
they're also provocative. Yeah, they're also a little bit of therapeutic in that, you know, here's do this and hope and think and breathe and dream, all those things. That's what I get from it. And I'm not trying to force a construction on you, but that's what I hear when I listen to it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Do we want to lead into another song? You had mentioned two, possibly Memory. We hit on Sister Horizon just to discuss it, but I'm not cutting anything off by any way, but I'm thinking, and I don't want to keep you all day.
I'd love to, if you have time to play that. And then if you have time to play Memory, I could talk a little bit about that.
Why don't we do, let's talk about, why don't you do a little bit of an introduction to Memory now? It's one that we have talked about, and then I'll play that, and then I'll come back and talk to you. And as we leave, I'll play Sister Horizon or whatever else we think of. But let's talk about Memory. I'll drop that in, and then I'll come back and talk to you before you're gone.
Okay. The song Memory is when I was talking earlier, mentioning that I had recorded a few things, but they didn't really quite fit into the country record that I had been working on right before the pandemic for a while. And Robert Hunter had sent me the lyrics for Memory, and I recorded it. We had written about 100 songs together, starting with the first record I did with Ralph Stanley, and I put melodies to a couple of lyrics, and that I really took a lot of happiness in that Ralph Stanley sang a Robert Hunter lyric. And so he, in our, the two records I did with Ralph, we did 4 Robert Hunter co-writes, and then we kept writing and wrote about 100 songs together. And so I sent a copy of Memory to Robert and his wife Maureen. And I had seen Robert a few months before that out in California, and it was the last 2 times I'd seen him. I just had a great visit with him, and just very laid back, and we weren't, you know, in writing mode and kind of the intensity of that. And so it was great just to be able to relax and have a meal together and talk. And he was the smartest guy I'd ever met. And so he had mentioned that he was not watching the news, and he was really not getting on the internet much, and send stuff to Maureen, his wife, you know, if I wanted to talk or anything. And so I sent the copy of when I recorded it, of Memory, and Maureen said they both cried and really liked it a lot. And and then that a few months later, I was in North Carolina working on this bluegrass record called When Carolina Comes Home Again. Mm-hmm. And I was in a studio with a great man of North Carolina called Songs from the Road Band.
Sure.
And we did a few songs I'd written with Charles Humphrey III, and we recorded those. And the guys in the band, half of them had on Grateful Dead gear, yeah, T-shirts.
Let me say this, of the band, I know Charles pretty well. The rest of them I don't know as well, but I know Charles well from his days of Steve Cannon Rangers and what he's doing now.
And so we recorded these 2 songs, and then I said, all right, I think this is an omen. I've got this one Robert Hunter lyric I have not been able to finish, but I'm going to try to finish the melody right now, if you guys will give me a little bit of time, and let's record it. So I finished the song. It's called As a Sign, and we recorded it. And I sent it to Robert and Maureen, and I didn't hear anything. And I thought, uh-oh, he doesn't like it. Oh, gosh, he doesn't like it, and he's afraid. You know, he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. And I didn't hear anything, and I just thought, well, I feel bad because I don't think he likes it. And then I got a call from Maureen several months later in the morning, and she said, I just want you to hear it before it gets out that Robert has passed away.
Oh, geez.
And so it turns out he was really, really sick shortly, just a few weeks after I sent the memory. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't hear from him. But, so this is the song Memory is the last song he heard that we wrote together. Yeah. And it really, I think it's something we can all relate to, because it's about the memory of someone who's passed that you loved a lot. And so I certainly loved him a lot, and during these past couple of years, we've lost people at a more rapid pace than before, even in our lives. And so this goes out to those people we've lost.
All right. I appreciate that. Let's pay memory, and then I'll come back and talk to Jim Lauderdale. You're listening to Unreal Bluegrass. I hope you've been listening to Jim discuss his new album, Hope. Let's play Memory, and then we'll come back and talk to Jim and let him go on about his way. That was it. That was Memory that Jim described so poignantly. When you talk about the people we lost, not just personal lives, Jim, but in certain music, and we could spend days, things that happened in 2021, in the bluegrass field alone. It's just amazing that all these things happened at once. Probably my three favorite living banjo players and my good friend Sonny Osborne and Bill Emerson and J.D. Crowe within months. Now, I don't, and it's not related to the times we were living in. I know that it was not, but it just all happened during that period.
Yeah. Yes, I know. And J.T. Gray from the Station Inn.
That's right.
And a few weeks ago, Roland White. I moved to Nashville back in 1979 with my two goals were to hang out with George Jones, and the other one was to hang out with Roland White, because I just was nuts about all the Kentucky Colonel stuff, Roland's solo stuff.
Country Gazette was my favorite.
Country Gazette. You know, it just blew me away. And of course, I was a huge fan of Clarence's, but there was something about Roland that, I don't know, he just his essence, I was just real drawn to. And he was a great guy, and we recorded an album in Earl Scruggs's basement. It was the first incarnation of Scruggs Studios, and so Earl would come down and bring his coffee in the morning on a tray and china, and he'd be wearing an apron. It was very surreal to, you know, have your, because I used to play banjo that night, and I learned off the Earl Scruggs book.
Yeah, sure.
He was a huge hero. Very, very sweet guy. And so we did this album, and Marty Stewart played acoustic guitar and a bunch of it. Oh, Gene Wooten, Johnny Warren's playing fiddle, Terry Smith's on bass, Stan Brown's on banjo. And I thought at that time, when I was 22 years old, I thought, I've made it. You know, this is incredible. I can't believe this. This is just, you know, this is too good to be true. My first album with my hero Roland, it was a duet record. And I sent it around to the labels that I really liked a lot. That at that time were the, you know, I was buying tons of bluegrass records on these labels. And I got, every single one of them wrote me back and said, hey, we like it. We like the record, but you aren't on the circuit, and you're an unknown, and we just, you know, we need more time. You know, stay in touch, you know, let us know, but, you know, good luck and everything. So that was real discouraging. And then years later, when I was doing kind of transition from bluegrass to country and finally started getting major label country deals, I got a hold of Roland and said, you know, hey, I think somebody's going to put this out now. And he said, great, you've got the master copy, right? And I said, no, I thought you had it.
Oh, man.
And so it was just like, oh, that's terrible. You know, this thing's lost. And then Roland came down to the Station in one night a few years, about 4 years ago. And as he was sat in, and he was so kind to me, I used to go sit in with him when I, you know, came to Nashville to hang out with him. And I loved that place, the Station Inn. And Roland, as he was walking off stage, he turned around and he said, oh, by the way, my wife found a little reel-to-reel tape on the bottom of a box.
Oh.
And so it it turned out to be the album, and it was a rough mix. So my record company, Yep Rock, I was about to put out this other record, and I said, hey, by the way, I mean, you guys probably don't want to put this out, but just, you know, for your information, we found this copy of this bluegrass thing. It was going to be my first album. And they said, let's put it out at the same time. So I really appreciated that. And so it was my 30th album. And I put out, you know, 33 years later. So it would have been my first. So, you know, so that was great. They put it, and the record's called Jim Lauderdale and Roland White. And
I have so much stuff from Roland, and that my first favorite band, you always have to, because of Alan Mundy, and Roland also was Country Gazette. Then I backed up from there and found the Appalachian, all the Kentucky Colonels and everything. But
And that's the great thing about music, isn't it? When you like discover a band, and then through that band, you discover
That's exactly what this show is about. If I had to put it in one sentence, it's the here's this, and then go do your homework. Go enjoy and do your homework to the listeners, not the people like you. But let me ask you this: Was the tape still? Sometimes I know those old tapes that disappear. You have to bake them in order to get one take off of them, and then you can do a thing from there. Was it listenable?
I sent that over to Randy Coors, who produced a bunch of my bluegrass records. He said, "Let me, you know, I can put the tape up and listen to it and see if it's gonna." Yeah, see what kind of shape it's in.
Okay.
So he messed around with it, and it was totally fine.
Cool. Listen.
I have some even earlier. I got three tunes. I did one original, and I think I did Ocean of Diamonds and Sleep With One Eye Open with Roland and some of those same guys before we did this record, and I can't find that tape, so I'm really
hopefully they'll show up somewhere. Just keep hope alive.
Yeah, actually that was 43 years
ago. Holy Moses.
33, but yeah. It's 20. I just turned 65. So
you're right there with me. Do you want to we've talked about Sister Horizon. Do you want to introduce that one? Then I'll let you go as we
sure.
go into that one. Do that. Do Sister Horizon.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Would you like to, since this is a, you know, you do feature bluegrass a lot, instead mm-hmm. of that one,
okay.
would you like to play one of my older bluegrass things, or,
sure.
or would you rather focus? It's totally
I'll play songs around this, and we'll cut this discussion out. I'll play songs around this segment that'll have some of your older stuff. But for this segment, I just kind of like to focus on the album, and
sure.
if that's okay. And then I have so much of your other stuff I can plug in the first hour and the third hour. So let's do this, then do your. We've talked. We'll start. Here we go. Jim Lauderdale, I want to let you go. We've talked about Sister Horizon. If you'd want to just do a short intro to that, we'll play that for the audience, and I'll let you get on your way.
Sure. Yeah. That is a song. Let's see. It must have been New Year's Day 2020. I was just messing around with my guitar and got this riff. And usually when I'm writing a song, the music will come first. And sometimes I'll get a title, though. And that took a few days, but then my wheel started spinning, and just this title, Sister Horizon, was coming out for the chorus. And then by the time I got to the studio and was inspired to, and so I sat on that song for a while I was doing this other country record, and then finished the melody and finished the lyrics when I was kind of in full recording mode, when I was doing these newer songs for Hope. And it just I don't know, there's something I thought about my sister Becky, and I thought about this kind of in the bigger sense of things, you know, the horizon as being like a family member, you know, a sister as well. And so
and there's a line that I made a note of, you watch over us.
And
I think that it isn't over yet. So I think that maybe that now makes more sense to me than before. Okay, all right. Well, that puts it all in perspective then. All right.
Yeah.
Jim Lauderdale, thanks so much for being available. These things are sometimes hard to connect on.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll play Sister Horizon, and you go on. You have a new album. You're working on it. It probably won't come out for a while, I think, from what I understand our other conversation.
It's either going to come out, and I'm slow at getting it. I had wanted it out by now, but possibly June. It's going to be called Game Changer. Or I might, through these times, I don't know, I might decide to hold off a little longer on it. But it'll be called Game Changer. Yeah, and it's pretty straight ahead.
Well, we'll find it when it comes out. And thank you so much. This is Sister Horizon from
and Steve.
Yes, sir.
And also, though, I do have a goal to record and put out a bluegrass album by this fall, so be looking out.
Oh, okay, very good, very good. We'll get a hold of that. All right, Sister Horizon, Jim Lauderdale. Thank you so much for the music and for the hope. And we'll just
go
on from there. I'll talk to you. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.